Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. Our first episode in weeks. It's been so long. Dalton Anthony's here with me.
Yo.
And I got Asa Gray at the end of the table.
Who are you?
I don't recognize either
of you people, even though I just saw you on Thursday. But
yeah, Thursday was, I do want to throw that out real quick. So Thursday we had, because I know everybody's like, what do the Nerd Up guys think of Star Wars? If you're curious, we did a huge show on Thursday. The first part of it's Star Wars, the second part of it's Ghostbusters. You can go check that out. It was a huge cast of people.
Star-studded, all-star event.
It was a lot of fun. Ended up being pretty funny, I think. Like, mm-hmm. I'm always worried about shows that big, like being utter chaos. And it was a little chaos, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like, you know, the 50th episode spectacular chaos. Or no, it was the 100th episode where we had like 15 people on. That was bad.
Who knows?
Yeah, anyway. I know like 300 we had a whole, like 300 we had like two soundboards. It was something like that.
Yeah, the short version is I think we had full price for me, full price for Dalton, and then matinee for Asa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the short version of it. If you want to hear more in depth on Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, and we even talk a little bit about Mandalorian, you want to hear more about that, hit up that Thursday show. It's a lot of fun.
And if you ever need fantasy advice in football, I suggest going straight to Jesse Kimble.
Oh, did he win his league?
No.
I won one.
Nice.
I won one of my three leagues.
The Podzilla 1985.
Hey, winning is winning.
I made it to the playoffs, and I made it to the semifinals in all three leagues, and then I only won one of them.
But I can tell you that one that he won was still one more than Cody Sandusky, who I beat in the finals of ours, because someone 5 days before the game started said, "Hey, I know you love Tom Brady, but I'm really going to need you to pick up Fitzpatrick because I think he's going to blow up." And he did, and it's the reason I won. Like, it wasn't because, like, oh, my team did good overall. No, I won because I picked him over someone else. And he did that to Cody. He did it to Cody, who I know is listening right now, very angrily.
But Cody can take some solace in the fact that it was because of Fitzmagic, who beat the Patriots for the Dolphins, and thus completed the Belichick Horcruxes. because he has wins over the Patriots on all four of their
three of their division rivals. Yeah, he beat the Patriots in on the Bills, the Jets, and now the Dolphins.
Yeah. Yep.
But hilariously, he's one team away from being able to do that in the AFC South as well.
I mean, maybe he'll go to that team. We don't know. They're not going to hold on to him, probably.
If he ever plays for the Colts, he can do that against the Jaguars.
You might actually get me to go to a Colts game.
But I just want everybody to know that I beat Cody Sandusky because Jesse Kimble told me to pick somebody up. I didn't win under my own volition. No.
We'll move to the nerd stuff because this is a nerd show and we're talking way too much about football. So is this going to be the first time Cody finds out that it was Jesse?
Yes. Yes. We were going to do it on the Patreon because we thought it would be way funnier because he pays for that. But we forgot. Because, like, we texted about it after I won. Like, we need to mention that you told
me
that.
When's the reveal? It was me all along, Austin.
Yeah, no. We were going to do it on Patreon because he pays for it. And that's a certain, like, I've actually calmed down completely with fantasy football. I'm not a jerk like I used to be. But I still am a certain level of petty where I'm like, you know, it'd be really funny if we made him listen to it.
And it's one of those things, like, Dalton used to not, like, not only would Dalton not seek out my advice, if I offered it to him, he would do the exact opposite. Yeah, it, like, often to his detriment.
Yeah, and this time he did it, and within like a minute of telling it, like, I just add. It's like, all right, cool, I'm putting him in. I hope I win.
Because I am always like, if for next season, this is the last thing football we're talking about. If I got some fantasy football fans out there, if y'all want some fantasy advice, hit me up.
And it'll work.
I'm pretty decent at it.
Yeah.
I apparently not good enough to win my money league. Every season.
But you,
Russell Wilson, you jerk.
But you helped me beat sportscaster Cody Sandusky in fantasy football.
Oh, man.
I dress up in spandex on the weekends. I beat him.
All right. So on to the nerd stuff. I'm so sorry, Cody. All right. Yeah, we talked about, and I want to go back to Star Wars real quick because one thing I want to talk about, because it was briefly touched, like Asa made a little bit of a joke about it on that Thursday show, but I'm getting tired of hearing people talking about how this movie has bombed in the box office.
Not going to cuss.
It's like, as of this weekend, it hit $918 million globally.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
It didn't hit a billion yet. The budget was $275 million. They likely spent over that because that's how movies work. They spend a little over budget. That's fine. It's like I said, $918 million so far in its third week of release.
It's also super important to note that that's box office. This is also a Star Wars franchise, which means they made toys, which are dirt cheap to make, and you profit so much on them. Yeah. And trust me, for somebody that just started a Black Series collection and trying to find a Mandalorian, those things sell out so fast.
You know, it's making tons of money. So I'm tired of hearing people talk about it bombing. And also, like, I Hunter pointed this out in the group chat, was also great because I keep seeing it too. People talk about Star Wars is dead and all this other, like, fantastical nonsense. And like, Star Wars, all 3 weekends of its release, is number one in the box office.
I will say, though, that I have some insider information that I can't, you know, give you any sources, but I can confirm that this movie performs so poorly, they're not going to make another movie in the trilogy. Like, that's going to be the last movie that they make for this trilogy.
Man, the third one, it's they always stop trilogies at number three. It's weird.
I mean, there's other, you know.
I don't understand why.
I'm not going to cite, you know, any, I don't need to, clearly, but like any of the other ones that have gone past three for their trilogies. But yeah, the Skywalker saga is done. It's crazy.
All right. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to get that out of the way. New Mutants. We finally got some news about New Mutants, and I'm really glad because I actually, like, the first previews we saw about this, you know, horror story with mutants seems awesome. Mm-hmm. We finally got the trailer. We got some news about it. It's going to release April 3rd, 2020, which is way sooner than I thought it was going to come out. And did you guys watch the trailer today?
Yeah,
I did. I had to think about it. I took a nap today, and it threw my whole thing off.
Like, Asa, was that a yeah, you did, but and it was definitely a trailer, or is
it
that
was definitely,
like,
a trailer.
Oh, fair enough.
Also, just real quick, some context for the disappointment of the Star Wars. Force Awakens set a record for fastest movie to a billion, and at this point in its release schedule, Last Jedi had already made a billion. So, I mean, for the third movie in a trilogy to make less than the previous two seems, like, counterintuitive, because you would think that, you know, you went and saw the first two, you got to finish it out. So if less people are seeing the third one versus the first two, like, I can see there being room for disappointment. But yeah, you can't call it a bomb.
No.
It's not a
bomb.
And
that's the point. Yeah, like, is it underperforming? Like,
probably,
sure.
Probably, but...
Like, yeah, because...
But it's not
by bombing. The time it left, yeah, by the time it left the box office, The Force Awakens had over 2 billion.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, no, that's incredible. That's an incredible amount of money. But, like, not quite reaching a billion isn't... bombing
as fast as the first two,
because it will hit a billion. Yeah. Like, it's gonna be in theaters for another, like, 25 weeks. It's already at 918 million. Like, it's gonna hit the bill.
Yeah.
And it will be Disney's, what, like, $6 billion film of 2019?
I think seventh, if they count it for 2019, because if it doesn't hit until 2020, yeah,
then they may not count it. But I mean, it was released in 2019, so I'm sure that release still counts. Yeah.
So, I'm sure it also depends on who you ask and what various metrics there are.
Right, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
People are dumb.
The point is, it didn't bomb.
Yeah.
Underperforming, sure. Mm-hmm. But, like, if
But all of the headlines aren't saying underperforming.
No, they're not.
Saying Star Wars bombs, the franchise is dead, you put the gun in BB-8's mouth and pulled the trigger.
But $918 million is not bombing.
Baby Yoda's crying because you only saw it twice.
Solo, you could say bombed. That one only made... I looked at it today because I was unsure.
Mm-hmm.
That one globally made $450 million.
I have a hard time acknowledging the fact that, like Cats. Cats lost money.
Yeah, no,
Cats
that's,
bombed.
Yeah, if you're your definition of bombing should be lost money.
Yeah,
like,
I
yeah.
agree with that. Yeah, Solo, because Solo made money.
Yeah,
it didn't make a lot of money, but it mm-hmm. made money.
Batman v Superman didn't bomb. It almost did. It was so close.
But yeah, no, you're right. Like, I retract my statement. Solo didn't bomb. Solo is actually what I would define as underperforming.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Rise of Skywalker doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
$918 million, it's doing just fine. It's just not as extraordinary as the other two.
They only got four dump trucks of money, and those poor executives. I hope they're okay. Yeah, I know Australia is literally like on fire and almost a billion animals have died, but like maybe we should race up some funds for those poor Disney executives.
They're so trying to keep Walt's head alive.
New Mutants is still happening.
Speaking of bombs.
It's almost certainly going to bomb, but I'm going to see it. Then again, I think I was the only one here. Has anybody seen Phoenix?
Yeah, I saw that trailer.
I own it and I still haven't seen it. Thanks, Black Friday.
Yeah, it was like $3 and I was like, eh. It's the only movie I don't own.
That's literally what Sadie said to me, and I'm like, we're not buying it. And then she bought it. It was fine.
Yeah, I was looking at the thing and like it was like $3. I was like, and again, last movie, I own all the other ones. Like, eh. I don't need it.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Which bums me out because I liked Apocalypse a lot more than most people. Maybe my opinion will change if I rewatch it.
I liked Apocalypse a lot.
You think it might TMNT 3 you?
A little bit, except there's not that hardened edge of just like, no, I love this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't love Apocalypse. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I recognize that that's more than a lot of people. But no, New Mutants, it did nothing for me. Like, I had to kind of break myself from, nope, they're not at the school. The school's not going to be involved, more than likely. This is just a sinister organization has kidnapped these young mutants that have to figure out their powers and what's going on. Yep. But like,
and they're using a lot of the original New Mutants roster too.
There's just there's something about superpowered people, even if they aren't completely in control of their powers, being in this situation like completely takes the horror away from me.
Man, I don't know, especially with how some of those guys' powers work. Like how magic's powers work. Like that could be, because I mean, we got to see a little bit of a glimpse of Demon Bear, like in that trailer, like that, like a lot of her powers are kind of scary,
mm-hmm.
Because I mean, she kind of opens a portal to limbo. That's a real scary place.
I was also really kind of bummed that, like, I don't know what it is, but that Illyana is not clicking for me.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Magic is such a cool character.
She is.
That constantly, like every run that I've read her in, I just feel like it's a real missed opportunity. Like, I haven't seen that one specific run that has really made her, like, seem as badass as she is or could be.
Yeah, no, I get that. Like,
but there's, I don't know what, I don't know if it's the actress. I don't know if it's just, and again, it's a trailer. I can't judge the movie based on that. But for what it is and how many times this movie has been, like, reworked and retooled and now it's going back to the original one, it's all just weird. And this just seems like one that probably should have just been shelved.
But like I'm fine with them still releasing it because I do want to see the movie. Like I know it's going to be bad, but especially like I like the New Mutants a lot. Like mm-hmm. that was a real fun story, and they got a lot of my favorites in here. Like you mentioned, Magic is going to be involved in it. Wolfsbane is going to be involved in it. She's just one of my favorite mutants. Rain Sinclair, and I love Maisie Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's going to knock it out of the park. Cannonball's in it. It looks like he's got some weird powers. Like I don't know. Like in the trailer, like it. It was kind of weird looking because Cannonball's whole thing is that he flies at really high speed and becomes invulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just kind of what he do.
Is he the one that it was like, my girlfriend died, and it was like the zombie reaching up behind him?
No, that was Bobby DaCosta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cannonball, he's the meth-looking kid from Stranger Things in the trailer.
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about. Again, only seen the first season of Stranger Things.
I haven't seen Stranger Things.
Finn Wolf Finn?
No.
No, because we would have used his name.
Yeah, like I was like, he doesn't look messy, he's just kinda lanky.
No, it's the
he's a grown boy.
It's the kid that went into the Upside Down's older brother. I think that's who it was.
Okay. I know, like, I can see, yeah, I know who you're, I know that character in Stranger Things, but I'm not.
Yeah, I can't remember the actor's
name. I'm just going to watch the trailer again on mute.
Cannonball, the reason I flipped the bird for that guy, he has the worst Marvel Legend of last year, because they depicted, like, the, like, bursting into flames and going into the sky,
mm-hmm.
but they did that by putting it on, like, a base that's hollow in the middle, and then just an upper body, he didn't come with legs. It was very Lieutenant Dan of him. And then everybody's like, well, no, you can, because like I have a big mutants collection in my Marvel Legends thing. And I was like, oh, he'd be a cool one to have. And then I saw him and I was like, no, he's not. Because I'm not going to spend $20 on a torso and a cool little blasty effect. Like, no. So people were like, well, you can customize it if you buy this figure and just pop the thing. And I'm like, no, just give me a figure with legs, Marvel. Like, son of a gun.
It needs to be dynamic.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't know.
Gotta blast off. You know, Cannonball's whatever. Like, I don't care about Cannonball much.
It's neat, but it's not. It's the whole thing, like, a lot of the mutants have really awesome abilities. And for every one mutant that has a really cool ability, there's, like, eight mutants that are just, like, you're reaching really hard.
Well, because you have a lot of background mutants that sometimes get, like, pushed up into other roles.
I also kind of like the fact that not every mutant is a, like, certified total, BA, like, yeah, like...
No, I'm with you on that.
Because, like, otherwise, yeah, it's like, statistically, yeah, you're going to get... You're going to, yes, yeah, so for every Cyclops and Wolverine and you know, Jean Grey,
you're going to get OP heroes. You're going to get a skin and a beak.
Yeah. Where it's just like, yeah, it's because it's a mutation. It manifests itself in different ways.
Yeah.
I'm real. This, honestly, like, this movie just makes me wish that we were getting something officially Marvel, something MCU. I want to see how they handle mutants. I don't want to wait for it. I want to know now. I'm sick of speculating. I'm sick of wondering. I just want to know, like, yeah, just give me my mutants.
Yeah.
Give me the good mutants. New mutants are fine. I don't have a problem with that team. Like, and I get their importance, especially when it comes to, no, they weren't the Mutant Registration Act.
No.
That was the Hero Registration Act. That was a whole other.
Yeah, and those weren't even mutants.
Those weren't mutants. Those were.
Civil War? The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that caused
in comic books?
Yeah.
Just in case.
They just like, so I don't know, it's just, it makes me wish that there was more, like seeing that 20th Century Fox logo almost kind of bummed me out.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
get that after this movie, we may never see it again. I don't know what else they have in the pipeline.
Yeah, for anything X-Men wise. We might see it for Deadpool. We'll see what we get when we get to that, but... Mm-hmm. Regardless, going back or finishing up here with New Mutants, yeah, Bobby DaCosta, that was the freak saw.
Yeah,
he's Sunspot, like he burned her alive.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, so like the whole thing there, like they're talking about, is like they're seeing illusions of their worst fears and stuff.
Right.
Which, if like, and I'm sorry, this might end up being a little bit of spoiler, but the new girl that they bring in at the beginning is Danny Moonstar. And, like, that's one of her abilities, is projecting illusions of people's worst fears.
Mm-hmm. I like her a lot. That's my favorite C-level mutant, is Danny Moonstar. She's just cool. Yeah.
Especially, like, they in an attempt to make a character cooler and, like, change them around a little bit, there for a hot minute, Danny Moonstar was Valkyrie. And that was awesome, because there was a, like, she had all the Valkyrie powers plus all of her, like, psionic abilities. So she has, like, a psi bow and, like, some psi swords and stuff like that she uses. And then, yeah, she does the whole, like, illusions of your worst fear thing, which I think, like, they're showing a bunch of scenes of that, of, like, you know, when they're talking about, like, your first, you know, mutant thing, what'd you do? And then, like, as they're talking about it, you're seeing not what they did, but, like, how that is impacting their worst fears. And I'm pretty sure that that's the angle they're going with Danny Moonstar. Like, I think she's causing those.
And speaking of Danny Moonstar and Wolfbane, I can't tell you the story on air because I'm gonna cuss, but remind me at the end of the show, I need to tell you that Marvel Legends story.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
pretty... Are they in a bundle, or is it a build-a thing?
Even worse.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Wolfsbane, though, I just love Wolfsbane, because that's another one that lends itself to horror, like, going back, like, in terms of, like, Ileana is really good about it, because Limbo, like, a lot of those, like, zombie monster things that you're seeing,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be Danny, or that could just be, like, you know, the things coming out of Limbo to get to Ileana,
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, Limbo's scary. So, and Wolfsbane, she turns into a wolf. Like, she's cool. Like, she can go, like,
so did,
anywhere,
like every Hanna-Barbera cartoon character when they saw someone pretty. He ain't special.
And she can go, like, anywhere, like, anywhere along the gradient. So she can do, like, werewolf to, like, full wolf and, you know.
She's an anamorph.
Yeah, basically. But she can stop halfway.
She's that book.
But why would you? She's the cover of an anamorph book. Like,
she is the cover of an anamorph book.
She can
book.
Be.
That
she can
correct.
Be page one. Page 200 or page 73.
That's not how Animorphs.
Yeah, he's
no,
about
the bottom
cover.
Corner.
Oh, no, he's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's right.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
No, okay, good. I was about to say, I was going to defend myself on
good
that.
Good job,
one.
Dalton.
I
thought you were the flip book in the bottom corner.
I thought you were talking.
That.
I thought you were talking about, like, that's just as the book progressed, they became more and more like animals. And it's like, oh, my God, no.
Oh, in the bottom.
No, that's so very
yeah.
wrong.
No, yeah, Dalton got that. That was a good one, buddy. Good
Thank
job.
You. I was like, I was about to say, am I high? Like, am I in the middle of a fever dream? That wasn't a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, no, like I'm still excited about this movie, because I like the New Mutants. I like I like the horror angle they're taking with it. This could be super cool. It's going to be awful, but it could be good.
But what if?
And I really like the guy for Bobby DaCosta as well. Because that his whole thing is how pretty he is.
Mm-hmm.
God, that guy's real pretty.
He's
a handsome man.
That's the dumbest mutation. I'm really pretty.
Screw you. That would be awesome. I'm so attractive. They have to blame
I'm
it
not normal.
On my DNA changing.
So attractive that clearly mutie.
It's like the Rick and Morty where Morty finds true level.
Oh, yeah.
Just you're too attractive. Everything else is just an abomination after looking at you. Dorian Gray yourself.
Yeah, there you go. In addition to that, he can set people on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And everything on
fire. All right, that's a mutant ability. Okay.
Because he's so hot.
Gosh.
Darn it.
All right, so Ryan Reynolds has confirmed that Deadpool 3 has been greenlit.
Yeah, they're working on it.
Like, it's actually happening.
Well, live with Kelly and Ryan.
That's where he talked about it. Oh, yeah. He did not confirm if it's going to be PG-13 or R. If they've already said, I think Disney's already said that if it comes out 20th Century Fox, then it can be rated R.
I think I saw something recently. Keep going, because I'll...
But
they're only making this movie because Star Wars bombed so hard they need to make that money back up. God, I hate people.
See, 20th Century Fox, Disney's already admitted, they're fine with them putting out R-rated content. They're just not going to put anything that has, MCU or Disney on it is not going to be rated R. Won't be.
It's such a bummer. I get it.
Well, no, I say that. The Netflix series were rated R.
So before...
And that was MCU, but... It had the Marvel logo and everything at the beginning.
Before he made the announcement, there were a bunch of stories that... The writers have promised that it will be an R rating and that Disney has signed off on an R rated sequel.
Cause that's the hard part. Like they can promise all day long, but if the mouse says no, then knows the answer.
Uh-huh.
So Ryan Reynolds has confirmed been greenlit and from the sounds of it, it will be rated R. It will almost certainly then be 20th Century Fox, which is what I was relating to Asa earlier when you said this might be the last time we see it for mutant films. Deadpool 3 is almost certainly going to be the last one.
I meant in general. Is 20th Century Fox still going to be putting stuff out?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Because, they bought it and they're just keeping all of its properties
they
and everything
just own
with it.
Yeah. Okay.
So now they can just take the X-Men away from it. I thought you meant just, for mutants.
No, I legitimately thought that I thought Disney was just going to take all of the stuff that 20th Century Fox was doing and now it's under the Disney umbrella.
No, because there's a lot of stuff they don't want to put their name on.
Yeah, which is why they did, I think it was Miramax mm-hmm. was the company that they had for a while.
Yeah.
Marvel has, so this is from an interview with Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are two screenwriters. Marvel has promised to continue to let us play in the R-rated Deadpool universe, and the hope is that they will let us veer into the Marvel Cinematic Universe a little bit as well and play in that sandbox. So that doesn't actually confirm that it's going to be an R rating. That just means that they're still going to play in that established Deadpool universe.
Yes. It could still be PG-13.
That's what happens when you only read the headlines of everything.
But Disney, let Deadpool play in that universe. I think it would be so much fun.
It would be the easiest thing ever. Of the Fox properties for the X-Men and stuff like that, that would be the easiest to switch in. Because so far, none of those characters existed in the Fox X-Men universe.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it's just the vice versa.
Especially if you have Deadpool now coming in and there's a new Logan. There's a new Cyclops. There's a new... There's another... First it was Patrick Stewart. Then it was... I'm totally...
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. And now we got whoever here,
Yeah. And, because I was going to point that out specifically. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's already dealt with two Xaviers and is fully on board with it.
That was so much fun. Which one, McAvoy or Stewart? I gotta know.
What was the was it Once Upon a Deadpool, the PG-13 version?
Yeah. I own that version of that movie.
That was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
It's entirely doable to do a PG-13 Deadpool and still have a fantastic Deadpool movie.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, because
I would prefer to. Obviously, I would prefer for it to be R. But the internet's going to light itself on fire because if it's confirmed that it's PG-13, neckbeards are going to lose their mind because you can't make a good Deadpool movie and have it not be rated R.
Yeah.
Except here we have proof, and yet blah blah blah. Well, they took an R-rated movie and edited it down. I would say that's harder to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And again, I think because whenever we talked about it, because I remember I bought it because I needed to know how they did and we all watched it here at the store, and
it was delightful.
It was super fun, but I think, like you said, Jesse, I think it was even more enjoyable because we knew it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There was obvious cuts, and it's like, okay, we knew that they, like, oh, that was a good way of blocking that out. And mm-hmm. That's what made it extra enjoyable. Like, I think it was because there was a preset R movie there, and then they edited it down, which I'm sure is super hard to do.
And it would, but I also am just picturing in my head, like, so the scene where Juggernaut rips him in half, mm-hmm. and how that was, like, they cut away for it. Like, you can still have that happen, but then it's just a thought bubble. So, like, even in 3, they know it has to be PG-13, just, and then, oh, this hurts real bad. Just, like, the thought pop up over the super graphic thing that's happening to him.
Yeah.
Like, if he's being tortured, all of his screams of terror are just covering, like, different word bubbles covering up his body.
And that could be, super fun. And pieces on top of that, like,
pieces go flying off and one of the bubbles just has to follow it.
And you could even have, like, a cutaway scene where, like, he puts on some mouse ears real quick and, like, ooh, can't show you this one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you could do that would be really easy to do. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're funny guys. They'll get it figured out.
And if that ticks off the neckbeards even more, that'd be... I also just went down to their society of just like, yeah, it has to be rated R. No, it just has to be a good movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it can be good without being rated R. Again, everybody at this table would prefer rated R.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not the end of the world if it's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, like, yeah, I think I'd rather prefer it be R, but as long as it's a good movie. I think it's my first and foremost. Be like, I think my first is, like, I want it to be good. And then, like, hey, if I get some F words in there, sweet. Mm-hmm. More than one.
It doesn't need to be rated R to be good.
Swears are funny. Watch.
Good edit, Jesse.
I like that joke. All right. So we got some MCU rumors. This is stuff like super grain of salt. Apparently comes from a pretty quote rock steady source. Pretty reliable.
Sorry,
like,
TMNT.
Sorry, Asa.
Same accident that blinded Deadpool is the mutagen that fell down the sewers and gave the turtles their powers.
Did he say Deadpool?
Yeah,
Daredevil.
Said Deadpool.
We just spent 15 minutes talking about Deadpool. I'm sorry if the D red wearing superhero was still in my mind.
So, Deadpool doesn't have a D on him anywhere, does he?
No.
Daredevil, Deadpool.
You said D wearing. Oh, D
red wearing. Okay. Because they're both of their costumes have red in it.
Hey, don't yell at just me.
I thought he said D wearing.
That's no, yeah, yeah. D okay. Red wearing.
Once I reset it in my head, I fixed it.
Oh, fair enough. I didn't hear the red. I just heard D wearing. Yell at him. Anyway. All right, moving past it. Marvel has gained control of Hulk and Namor from Universal Pictures. That's who had it.
Wait a minute. Someone's owned Namor this entire time?
Yeah. They got it in the same deal where they got Hulk. And they just haven't done anything with it.
That's all right. So that's the equivalent of going to like a convention.
But like, why would they?
Why would they get it back, or why would they?
No, why would they do anything with it?
Yeah, no, like
just like, you know, someone at Universal is just sitting there waiting for the red phone to ring. Just any minute now, they're gonna come begging for Namor. We got the Submariner, the Submariner, whatever it is. I don't know because I've only ever read it. And honestly, no one's ever said it out loud.
Mariner.
Because it's Namor and no one cares.
Yeah,
that's pretty true.
He's just an ocean a-hole.
So yeah, no, like them getting that, because I never knew that was a thing. That is literally like the equivalent of like buying art from somebody at a convention and you spend like $50. Like, I'll take this one for free.
Yeah, yeah, you get to buy one, get one. Yeah. Honestly, Marvel was running a hell of a fire sale at the time. Like, it's distinctly possible that they're like, buy Hulk, get Namor.
Buy an A, get a D.
I don't know what I'm going to do with Namor, but, you know, the deal's too good to pass up.
Are those the only
it's only
two
20
that
more
are...
bucks.
Were those the only two that Universal had?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and I know that they had like the Hulk villains and stuff like that too.
Yeah, no, they had the Hulk mythos, which
Namor
included
Namor villains.
Piranhas?
Black Manta?
Nope. Close.
Ocean Master? I don't
hey,
know.
Like, no.
Still a good storyline? There it is.
Well,
Namor had some fun stories. So, like, there's a lot of rumors going around that Namor's going to be showing up in Black Panther.
I would actually be okay with that, because especially
be cool.
If he's the villain.
Yeah, like Wakanda having to deal with Atlantis, mm-hmm. Like that could be really neat. Yeah, for those of you that haven't picked up on Namor yet, or you have no idea who that is, he is. If you also didn't get Ace's jokes there, he's kind of the Aquaman of the Marvel universe.
He's the ruler of Atlantis. He's an Inhuman. He's a jerk.
He's a mutant.
Is he a mutant?
Yes.
Okay.
He's like the second mutant ever.
Okay. I genuinely couldn't remember because I care so little.
The first mutant ever being Apocalypse.
Yes.
They made me care about a Namor Marvel Legend because they made it an exclusive. And I was like, I got to go buy that.
So yeah, Namor could be coming over. And yeah, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of talk going around that he could be he could be in the Black Panther sequel, which yeah, would be super neat. Wakanda going to war with Atlantis.
With what they did with what they did with Wakanda, I'm very interested to see that creative like direction of the like what they how they design Atlantis.
Yeah.
Cuz I thought that was one of the stronger parts of Aquaman. Is it kind of like it looked really good? It seemed like they were almost inspired by Wakanda, and it's like, oh, we have this fictional world that no one's ever seen before. We can really get weird with it and just make it super elaborate and ornate and beautiful.
Yes, and yeah, and Wakanda looked great.
And I'm sure Marvel will do better.
Yeah,
with their Atlantis.
So yeah, that would be really, really cool. And then from the same source, so we've known for a while with these Netflix characters, the Defenders, that they're going to be in like this 2-year limbo before Disney can really touch the characters again. Apparently that might be cut a little short because there's some stuff swirling the old rumor mill that Marvel is currently working on a few projects with the Defenders characters. We don't know if it's the same like casting or if it's the same storylines or if they're just going to ignore that entirely.
I've seen headlines that they want to do an R-rated thing with Jon Bernthal as Punisher. Like, they specifically named him. Again, those were just headlines, and we saw how that works with the Disney promises R-rated for Deadpool 3.
Yeah, no, it could be, writers of Punisher would really like to do an R-rated thing for Punisher.
And Hogan wish he would have been suspended instead of fired. Like,
So, yeah, we don't know exactly what's going on with there, but yeah, apparently these do come from a pretty reliable source, is my understanding. So it's not like, take it with a grain of salt, like this is far from confirmed, but it's also not like Joe said from his basement.
Yeah, I'm very
that
much.
That he heard from his uncle that works at Nintendo and Disney that this is what's going to happen.
Wait, you can work at both?
Well, yeah, his uncle is, he works at both. Mm-hmm. Just ask him.
He's the one that got me Mew, taught me how to get Mew. You just got to use strength and move the truck.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. I've
been trying that for years.
Well, you're doing it wrong. I'm very much, I'll believe it when it comes from the mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no. I would love for that because I feel like those Netflix characters really got the shaft. And I would like to think that maybe once they're fully in Disney House, maybe they'll stop being ignored by the MCU because, like, it's what Shannon said. Like, you're going to tell me that this giant threat is tearing apart New York and you know you have a bulletproof, super strong dude, like, right up the road.
Yeah.
And no one puts in a call.
Guy that's like as strong as Thor, completely invulnerable. Like, no, you're not gonna. I'm gonna hit that guy up.
No,
no.
He was busy at the NFL Combine.
Right. And that was the other thing. Like, you know, I heard some people talk about like, well, you know, maybe, like he was very street level. Maybe they didn't hear about him. It's like, no, he went to the NFL Training Combine.
Mm-hmm. Also, he found Spider-Man.
He was on Sway. No. I don't know why that got Dalton so much.
I have never watched the show. I didn't know that was a thing.
Really? Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Sway was in the show. they had Method Man on the show. Like, he did a rap about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
It's a good show. All right, so something that does have, like, a way more credence to it, a rumor that just hit today. This is just shy of breaking news. Christian Bale's in talks to join Thor Love and Thunder. The internet desperately wants him to be Beta Ray Bill, and I don't know why.
Yeah, he's too handsome to be Horsehead.
Yeah, like, that's one of those things. Don't get me wrong. Love Beta Ray Bill. Would love for Beta Ray Bill to be in this film. They're not going to grab, like, an Oscar-winning actor and make him a voice actor.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper. Ooh, Vin Diesel.
That did happen. Vin Diesel is...
And you know,
they got him to say Groot.
Yeah.
I am Groot. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, you got they got Vin Diesel to say Groot like 12 times into a microphone.
I am Groot. So, he made so much money
also,
on 5 words.
I know it's completely different, but let's not forget that South Park had George Clooney voice Stan's gay dog.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that these actors wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they asked him to, like, yeah, Christian Bale's absolutely going to voice the Norse horse.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, like, if they get him, that's how they would use him. I think,
again, like, look at some of the voices that they've gotten.
No, yeah, when you said Bradley Cooper, I was like, ooh, well.
And if it wasn't for the fact that we already have him as Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds would be a super fun Beta Ray Bill.
Because Beta Ray Bill's not that fun of a character.
No, he's super serious mode, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes me want that more then.
Yeah, but Ryan Reynolds just doesn't do, like, the super serious thing. Because he's super serious about, like, justice. And wherever he goes, he's all about
he's
justice.
A super space cop. Like, he's kind of lame.
All right, who do we want then?
Oh, easy.
No, I mean, like, as a personality.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a character, he's cool, and I enjoy him, especially, like, when he, like, teams up with Thor. That first meeting where he's just like, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be here. A lot of stuff's going south. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to beat you up until it's right. Like,
yeah.
It's cool.
And then he takes his hammer.
Yeah, and then it's just like, ah, this is mine now. And Thor's just like, oh, no.
What?
That's not supposed to happen.
None of this is supposed to be happening. Hold on. Easy. Easy there, big fella.
Because he's the one that, he's the original wielder of Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they gave...
Because the best thing, because then he held me on air, and then he got a hammer. Hammer
they
axe.
Made him his own hammer.
That's my main... Yeah. That's the main reason I think that he's going to be in this movie, is because we're going to see... All of the original Avengers, we're slowly going to see fade out, or not so slowly, as after Endgame. So this is probably... Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is Chris Hemsworth's... There's too many Chris's in
Yeah, it's Hemsworth.
Hemsworth.
Yeah.
This is his last movie.
He's going to be
so
in Guardians,
though. He passes on... Is he?
He I mean, went probably.
He went off with the Guardians, but
that's what makes me think he's going to be in Guardians.
I mean, and he might be like, and he might be, but
Chris
which
Hemsworth,
one comes out first?
Thor.
Yeah,
because
Thor,
Guardians
we don't
3
even
got
have
shelved.
Oh, so yeah,
many times.
Because he's still waiting for Suicide Squad. It wouldn't surprise me if like he gives up Stormbreaker to Beta Ray Bill.
No, it wouldn't surprise me either. Like, and I actually would
and
like
maybe
that
he just
storyline a lot.
No, because Mjolnir did he keep past Mjolnir?
Because
Mjolnir was destroyed.
No, he had to take it back
in Ragnarok. Oh yeah, he
yeah,
returned.
Yeah, he did return it because okay. That was part of the whole shtick.
Yep.
He had to. Well, he may not have returned Mjolnir. No, he would have had to have returned Mjolnir.
Or did he? Who knows? It's time travel, and it means nothing. There are no rules. They can just do whatever they want.
Yeah, because I think it was the Infinity Stones are the only things that had to be taken back to the mm-hmm. right spot.
Because just Thor lost his hammer 12 years ago, and it's
yeah. So there's another timeline where Thor doesn't have one of those. Maybe he got another one made before Thanos, you know, killed the thing. Anyway, not important. So yeah, Christian
right
Bale
there,
is in talks to join Thor. We don't know what it is, but
I don't know what other character he would be, because like if this is the story of Jane Foster becoming wielding, well, what even hammer would she wield? That's a whole.
So it's got to be Mjolnir. Ooh. Like Mjolnir's got to be back. He had to have kept it after the
maybe. Yeah,
the
he
time.
Just like kept it as a secret, and there is a alternate Thor timeline that's just effed.
Yeah, where Thor couldn't
he's
stop
just like
nothing.
He's still just standing there with his arm out like
why
where
I
is
can't
it,
feel it.
So I don't because I don't know who else it would be because there's not like unless they bring in an obscure character to kind of play the villain.
Yeah, there was a it's one of the somebody pointed out one of the villains from War of the Realms.
Mm-hmm.
The Minotaur that's a business owner.
Oh,
whatever ooh. His name is.
He runs Roxxon.
Yeah, yeah, the guy that runs Roxxon.
Oh, yeah. Give me American Psycho Christian Bale, but he turns into a Minotaur? Oh, my. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want that. I want that.
Yeah, somebody pointed that out, and I was like, oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, no.
That'd be real good.
Now if he's Beta Ray Bill, I'm going to be peeved.
I also just, you know, I was looking at it today, and the only reason I even saw this news bit, because it wasn't on any of the sites that I was researching
name too.
On.
Dang it, I'm trying to find owners.
Anyway, so. Yeah, so I was looking at, you know, I was just kind of browsing the Twitter, and I saw, like, Beta Ray Bill is trending, and I was like, oh, baby, why? I needs to know. Because in what reality is Beta Ray Bill trending?
Astrius?
On Twitter.
No.
So anyway, yeah, like, and I looked it up, and it's not that, again, very much not confirmed, but yeah, for whatever reason, the crowd desperately wants him to be Beta Ray Bill.
No, they're wrong. They're wrong. He needs to be the Minotaur. Not Mobitar. What in the world?
Mobitar.
Yeah, I don't remember the dude's name either. And I just read it in a comic book not too long ago. I saw the clip earlier today. Anyway, it's... Well, Asa looks that up.
Dario Agger.
There it is.
Yeah. Christian Bale needs to be Dario Agger.
Yeah, I even saw like the clip of him. I was like, man, it even looks like Christian Bale. Like, that's a perfect casting.
Yeah, because I completely, like, all of a sudden, all you, like, saying that just, he's like, hey, remember, like, the entire first two arcs of The Mighty Thor and how much of a prick he is? Oh.
Yeah. All right, so, Justin Roiland is working with Stupid Buddy Studios on a show that he's calling Gloop World for something new called Quibi. So this whole thing like was an interesting rabbit hole for me today. The show is going to be, it's going to be a clay based stop motion series about roommates Bob Roundy and Funzy. And it sounds interesting enough, like the Stupid Buddy Studios, they're the guys that do Robot Chicken. And Seth Green is going to be executive producing on this, as well as a couple other people.
I forgot the studio. Did they switch studios for Robot Chicken?
That's just what the studio became.
Oh, okay, because I know Starburns from Community, he owned the studio that was actually doing Robot Chicken.
I believe that, but...
I'm only going to say trust me because you need to realize, like...
No, I just said I believe that. We can move past it.
10th to 12th grade Dalton was really into Robot Chicken, and I knew, like, everything.
I mean, I loved Robot Chicken, but I didn't get... I knew Seth Green was big ownership in it, and he's still involved in Stupid Buddy Studios, apparently. Either way, point is, yeah, Claymation series on this new service that's launching this spring that will be... Quibi is like a portmanteau of Quick Bites is what it's short for, and it's going to be a streaming subscription service with 7 to 10 minute videos, and that's it, just like little story driven videos. And apparently a lot of big names have already jumped into it, like Chrissy Teigen, Kevin Hart, Jennifer Lopez, Idris Elba, even like Guillermo del Toro and Steven Spielberg are working on like some 7 to 10 minute horror stories for it.
Neat. Also, the reason I got thrown off is because it used to be Stupid Monkey Studios.
Stupid Monkey.
Yeah. No. I was like, I know that Stupid Buddies isn't right, but it's switched into Stupid Buddies.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so cuz I definitely remember Stupid Monkey.
I was still just kind of, I'm not going to lie, I pulled up pictures of Christian Bale and then pictures of Dario Agger. is this a paid subscription service? No. Hard pass. No, we don't need any more.
No, we don't.
Like, it's great.
And it better be a dollar.
These are all like, talented people, but...
7 minute videos?
Yeah, no. That's YouTube Red. Like,
give you a dollar.
Yeah, no.
We'll give you a dollar a month for this.
That's a Patreon subscription.
Yeah, I was like, I will sign up for your Patreon. That's actually what I was about to say.
this is interesting. But either way, I guess people will be happy to find this on Not That Subscription Service. if you catch my drift. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, something you can find on a good subscription service. Season 3 is coming January 24th. I still haven't seen season 2.
Is this Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Okay. I'm like...
I knew it was Netflix.
Because this isn't, like, it's not a series that, like, I have consumed, and it's just not... I'm not in that wheelhouse, so that's fine.
Fair.
I just couldn't remember if it was... I knew it was one of the two. It was one of the big two, but...
Yeah, it's Netflix. It's and okay. I really, really liked the first season. I heard the second season wasn't quite as good, but wrapped up pretty good. And I keep meaning to watch it, and I have now... Until I saw this article today, I forgot it was a thing. but yeah, the season 3 is hitting January 24th. We should be getting a trailer January 9th. And
So it's like this January.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a little bit of time to...
Yeah, I got like 3 weeks through season 2.
So, legit though, don't you think you should do it before the trailer hits? So you don't see the trailer that spoils something major for you?
Crunch time!
There you go.
I'm sure I can knock it out before the 9th. Probably. Well, it means I won't be able to play Call of Duty. Or go to the gym, or sleep, or... Yeah. It's fine, we'll figure it out.
Call yourself a nerd?
Oh, sometimes. So the next portion of our podcast.
That got sad.
Brought to you by our friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Make sure you stop by there for all of your comic book needs. So Hickman and Silva, Hickman's been doing the X-Men run. I talked about this just as a little bit of a precursor on Hype Train. I keep wanting to call it Nerds for Hire still. It's not that anymore. It's Hype Train. The X-Men book, we reported on it a long time ago that the main X-Men book, the team for that was going to be an all-summer squad. That was issue 1. Hickman has made like the X-Men book just kind of like, it's talking about the storyline of the mutants introducing humanity to Krakoa and try to introduce their basically nation to like the United Nations and all this other stuff to get it actually acknowledged and everything else. And so, like, each book of X-Men has had a different, like, group of people that have been in it. It's almost always had the Quiet Council, which I'm not going to talk about who those are, so you need to read it because it's good.
Some surprising names.
Some real surprising names in a group of people. And yeah, so Hickman's Michael been writing
Vick,
all
I know,
those.
It's crazy.
Whoa. That took a turn.
And
I just wanted to freak you out.
Arby Silva is coming back for issue 5. He did a lot of the artwork with... he did a lot of the artwork for House and Powers and just knocked it out of the park. That dude's extremely talented. Dalton, I just need you to get over it, buddy.
He has the worst mutant power.
I'm going to make it worse. No. I'm going to make it worse. It's not that Michael Vick. There is actually a new mutant named Michael Vick. It's a different character. It's fine.
There's not.
What's his special
not.
Power?
No.
I didn't know.
There's not. There's not. All right. X-Men number 5. It's coming out.
He's Gold Balls' cousin.
It's coming out this Wednesday.
Sorry.
They've got a new team for this one they're putting back together. Why? Why is this so funny to you?
I don't understand. It's only breaking me because I feel like I've genuinely upset you and I feel bad, but at the same time, it's kind of funny.
I just, like, I'm sitting watching you two just, like, losing your shit.
It's Sideshow Bob stepping on the rakes for 5 minutes. I'm just like, no, it's done. It's not good. Stop. What are we doing? And all I'm hearing in my head is just you.
It was such a weird name to pick. I was thrown off by it.
It's so random. Spoon.
This is my spork.
It's a tablet. We've established that this is me.
Let's try and move past it here.
X-Men, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so X-Men number 5, we got a new team. They showed off the clip for it, and I'm super pumped about it because it's X-23, Cinch, and Darwin. And this is just a cool team. Yes, Dalton?
Cinch?
I thought his name, I'm pretty sure his name is Cinch. Like, that's what I always thought it was, but it's apparently Cinch. His whole thing is copying mutant abilities.
Okay.
Like anybody that he comes into contact with, he just kind of copies it.
I thought I was going to be really good at tying knots.
Nope. From St. Louis.
We're close to there. He's from here.
Oh, I wanted that lady to die.
Local mutant.
Oh, I wanted that lady to die so much.
Close personal friend, local mutant.
Cinch, coming back. He's been dead for a while. Not in a good way. Same thing with Darwin.
What does that mean?
A lot of times they use these like C-list X-Men.
And give them the most gruesome, horrible deaths.
Yep, and for pointless reasons, like...
Because they need a red shirt?
Yeah, they need a red shirt.
A named character that gets murdered brutally.
They need somebody that's a half step above red shirt, because, mm-hmm. like, they'd been around for a while, Cinch and Darwin had, and both of them, like, at different time periods just got ugly deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin, like, he's the adaptive evolution guy. His whole thing is like his body adapts immediately to survive anything that would kill him.
He has the
except for what killed him.
Yeah, he has the coolest death in the X-Men movies, where Kevin
Days of Future Past.
No. This was First Class. Darwin?
How he died? Yeah, Darwin was in First Class.
Yeah, he was in First Class.
Okay.
Because Kevin Bacon put the... No, it wasn't Kevin Bacon. It was the henchman. I can't think of his name. But he put, like, the fireball in his mouth, and it, like, exploded him from inside.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Wasn't there a character that can kind of, like, adapt that the Sentinels just, like... Because everybody in Days of Future Past had a terrible death.
Yes.
Like, that one was kind of rough.
That was an X-Men snuff film.
Yeah, wasn't there someone that kind of, like, wasn't there someone that was kind of, like, keeping up with them, and then eventually he just got overran?
Oh, I thought it was just, like, we saw Colossus a couple of times just getting melted by them.
That might have been it.
He got torn apart.
I know here, I remember that scene in Days of Future Past, though. I just assumed gruesome death in an MCU, in an X-Men movie,
like
it happened in Days of Future Past.
It wasn't nearly as, like, graphic as those deaths, but he put,
those were graphic.
He put, like, a fireball in his mouth.
See, the motion you were making, like, I thought you were doing the Magneto penny through Kevin Bacon's head thing.
Yeah. That was baller. Actually, First Class had some of my favorite deaths, because they were cool. But, yeah, he put the ball in his mouth, and he's like, you can't adapt to this.
So
and he, like, burns from the inside.
Dumb question, because I'm not super familiar with Darwin. So, yes. Say, like, okay, he's going to drown. Like, someone's
grows
drowning
gills.
Him.
Yep.
He grows gills. He can breathe underwater. In 3 weeks later, after that situation has resolved itself and he's fine, does he lose the gills, or
yes.
does he just now forever have gills?
He loses the gills.
Okay.
Yeah, he can just regrow them when he wants.
Okay, so, but, like, if someone tried to drown him again, the gills just come back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I didn't know if there were rules that he could only adapt like once.
I mean,
or
there are rules in so much as like it's a C-list.
It depends
X-Men
on who, it depends on who's writing it and
correct.
How what mood they're in, how they want to use him.
But
okay.
He totally has a power that makes him an A-list. Like that's one where I'm like, that's a cool power.
Yeah, no, he could be an A-lister. He was a C-lister, so yeah, it came down to just very much who was writing him.
Yeah, but at the same time, like that doesn't necessarily like that it's an OP power in the sense that you can't die, but what offensive capabilities does that really give you? How much use would you be in a situation? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's one of those things he's immune to bullets and like knives and stuff like that. So he's just if he learns, he gets real good with hand to hand fighting, then yeah, he's good there.
Or guns just start shooting.
But either way, yeah, no, they're definitely some old school fan favorites. Like, or they have a pretty strong cult following.
I don't know if it's going to require spoilers at all because I still am only read the first issue of X-Men.
Yes.
But I finally finished Hoxpox.
Hey!
So are the three of them joining the current Summers Family Adventures, or is there going to be a mix?
Summers Family Adventures happened in issue one and ended in issue one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have not had any more Summers Family Adventures since.
Oh, okay, because that first team that we read was very much... That's why
all Summers.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of why I quit reading. So is it a whole... Are they the only three people? Or are they joining the team that replaces them? Has there even been a team that has been established in X-Men?
Nope.
It's just kind of it's just continuing the Hoxpox story of mutant kind.
Yeah, it's just all of the X-Men book, even that first issue, is just kind of establishing, the first issue is sort of establishing life on Krakoa and what that was about. And then every other issue has been trying to establish Krakoa as an actual mutant state.
Okay.
Being recognized by the United Nations and all this other stuff.
Okay.
It's been oddly interesting because it's explored a lot of the political and economic... economic impacts of this mutant state in an interesting way. I know that sounds dull as dirt.
Yeah.
But I've actually been really enjoying it. And X-Men number 4 just released this past Wednesday. Really, really good. Just because of one particular character, two particular characters in this room talking with these government officials. Oh my God, it was cool. It was so cool. I'll talk to you about it after the show. Because it would be spoilers for you just talking about... Anyway, we'll get to it. So either way, yeah, that's what the X-Men books have been.
It's not just the story of the Summers, because that's what it sounded like in those...
I think that Cyclops has been in each issue,
yeah.
But as a minor role at best. He's kind of it's really difficult to describe. He's leader of one of the other houses of mutants, and he takes care of a lot of security stuff like that. And he's usually going with the Quiet Council whenever they need to go take care of stuff. But he's not,
because they kind of have their go-to team of people. We see that in the first issue.
Yeah,
sounds like Ravenclaw.
Sir, no, the grown-ups are talking.
All right, so anyway, it's really, really interesting. It's been really good. And we don't know what's going to happen with issue 5 at all.
Mm-hmm. We just know these three characters.
Know these three characters are going to be in it. They're going to be sent on a mission, and it will lead, quote, directly into the future plans that Hickman has for the franchise. And X-23, we got to see a picture of her. She's back in the Wolverine outfit.
Yeah.
And that makes me very happy. They're doing something in space. I don't know what it is.
Okay, that dampers it a little bit, but all right. It's Laura.
Yeah,
it's Laura. She's back in the Wolverine uniform. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it's a mission that those three are very specifically suited for. Mm-hmm. And Fallen Angels has really upset me. And this gives me more Laura.
Yeah.
And I want more Laura in my life.
But now, give us Gabby. I really want to see Hickman write Gabby.
Yeah, I also would like to see Gabby. I just want to know what happened to her. Is she having fun on Krakoa? Where's Jonathan?
Jonathan's got to be on Krakoa. She's got her little apartment probably separated from other people. She's got her seat. She might even still just be living in New York.
I feel like she's on Krakoa. She's hanging out with the other mutant kids. They're having a good time. She's integrating. Being a kid.
But she kind of had a mission and a purpose, and I don't want her to lose that.
Well, yeah, she can have both.
I mean, yeah. Maybe she's recruiting her own little army
of
angry little mutant children.
Yes. I'm on board. Tom
Taylor.
Give
it to me, you cowards.
Tom Taylor, hit this. You're the only one I trust. The only one I trust with Gabby. All right. I am really, really excited about that. That's going to be, I don't think it's this Wednesday. I think it's the following.
Okay. So I got time.
So, yeah, not the 8th, but the 14th. It would be the 13th.
We know what you mean.
Nope,
15th. It's fine.
God, I'm bad at numbers. Yeah, I know, right?
Go back to the pre-show and figure out why I went, huh.
Mark Millar has announced that he's writing Chapter 3 of Jupiter's Legacy. For anybody that cares about that particular book in the Millar world, it's been kind of out for a little while. But yeah, Jupiter's Requiem is what it's going to be called. And yeah, it's going to be, he's announced he's working on it. We don't have anything else. And then I did want to throw in a quick reminder for people that have been kind of thinking about getting into Batman, you know, or you want a good jumping on point, because I'd like to do this occasionally, talk about jumping on points for books, which, by the way, not too late to jump on X-Men, because there's still a whole bunch of stuff that you can get a hold of, and they've officially released House of X, Powers of X in, or Powers of 10, in a trade format. You can jump right from there to X-Men or whatever else you want to do. And the highest number of any of those books is 5. Most of them had just finished up 4.
And they're UK, it's not too hard to find like second printings.
Yep, or, they're all over the place. So if you want to jump in on X-Men, you can absolutely do that. Hit up your local shop. They will take care of you. And then, yeah, Batman. We got a new jumping on point here. It's 85 was the last of Tom King's run. And 86 is the start of Tynion the Fourth's run.
His name is pronounced Tynan.
Huh.
He answered that on Twitter. And I just, because, yeah, I'd always been saying Tynan? Tynion. Yep.
I've been saying Tynion, Tynan too.
Yeah. That's how I've heard it said. So Tynan the Fourth with Tony S. Daniel and Jorge Jimenez. They're going to be, like, we talked about that a little while back. Tony S. Daniel is going to be alternating artwork with Jorge. And I like both of those artists a whole lot. And, yeah, Batman 85 just wrapped up Tom King's run. 86 is starting Tynan's?
James the Fourth. You can go with James. That's
there
his first
go.
Name.
yeah, James the Fourth. No, either way, his arc will be starting issue 86, and that'll be a pretty solid jumping on point. Usually when they do like major creative shifts like that, they're typically a great jumping on point. There's not a lot that you will need to know from Tom King's run. And I'm not going to spoil the one thing that you might need to know just in case somebody hasn't read that issue yet. Issue 85 yet.
Oh, okay. About that's still fairly recent.
Yeah, 85 just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I still need to finish up because I really enjoyed Tom King's run, but I'm very excited to see Tynan's because he, like, Something is Killing the Children is amazing. Detective Comics is amazing. He's also talked about how he's going to use Harvey Bullock is going to be featured. He's going to do instead of focusing on the Bat Family, he wants to put that that energy into the Rogues Gallery because someone's like, why aren't you including the Bat Family? Because he mentioned that it's mostly going to be a story about Bruce, and he's like, because I did 50 issues of that already. And it was fantastic. It was so good. Detective Comics, that initial Rebirth run, go out of your way to read it.
And I do hope that he, like, there's a couple of things with the family that he includes, because it would be a little unfortunate after, like, how Tom King's
run is left off. I feel King's like they're
going to
address it. Yeah, I feel like he's going to address that.
Yeah.
He talked about, like, he wants to explore gear and the Batmobile and all sorts of just, he has some really big plans for this, and I'm so excited to see where it goes.
Cool. All right. So, yeah, we'll get to see how it goes. And, yeah, 86, that hits the shelves 2 days from now, January 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this coming Wednesday, it'll be on the shelf. So make sure you go out and grab that. All right, that's the last comic books. We got this next portion of the podcast brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com, including past episodes and social media links.
Are they coming back? Are they back yet?
I haven't checked my face. I got in a new podcast conglomerate, and they have a lot of like conspiracy theory like episodes, and I've been binging them like crazy. But Press Start to Join gave me a Christmas card this year, and I cried a little.
Oh,
that's how Josh found out about that. If he's listening, he heard that I cried to his Christmas card. It was really sweet.
Well, that's good. Josh is a good dude. Like that guy.
So is Alan. I like both of them.
We just interact with Josh a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, it's because Alan doesn't have Facebook.
And he didn't play Overwatch with me.
I played Overwatch with him a time or two before.
Played with Josh, but I didn't play with Alan. Anyway, moving on, though. Treyarch has confirmed that the next Call of Duty game will not have jetpacks.
Okay.
The dev tweeted out that he still has PTSD from the fan reaction of Black Ops 3 jetpacks. So he's done. Done with that forever. No more jetpacks.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because the Call of Duty community is a cesspool.
Yes, it absolutely is.
The PTSD line does not surprise me given some of the stuff three days.
I also don't find that to be exaggeration.
No,
that's not hyperbole.
3 days on the Call of Duty subreddit, and I couldn't take any more, and I left it.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
One of the community manager being like, yeah, I don't post here because I'm sick of people telling me my child gets cancer.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the type of person doing that, you're garbage.
Yeah.
Get better. Just be a better human being.
Yes, please. For the love of God. All right. So, for those of you that were worried about jetpacks, don't worry about it. It's gone. You should just play Modern Warfare right now anyway, because it's really good. And then Atsushi Inaba of Platinum Games claims there will be multiple announcements from Platinum in 2020.
Maybe a good Turtles game?
Nah, probably not. But we'll finally get some more information out of Bayo 3 and a slew of other stuff, apparently. It's not going to just be that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the last thing I kind of want to talk about, the Final Fantasy VII demo leaked. The headline that I saw on that like cracked me up a lot. I wasn't sure if I wanted to put it on the show or not, that the demo leaked. But the headline cracked me up because it was like, watch out for spoilers. And I'm just sitting here thinking like, that game's like 22 years old.
Yeah, but they're clearly doing more. They're adding things and because they have to stretch that out because they've said it's going to be a full-length game. But it's only the first like, what,
yeah, they're releasing five, the first part
disc.
Of it. Yeah.
So, I mean, and
I'm
honestly,
not looking
like,
forward to that at
I
all.
Know the major, I know some of the major story beats, but if you told me how they left Midgar, I have no idea. I have no idea what happens there. Because no. I never played, because I never played 7. Like, this is the first time that I will be experiencing the story, because I'm planning on buying it.
Oh, are you really? Well,
yeah.
Now I feel like I'm not a nice person.
So, because basically, the way I saw, I assumed that everybody that was even considering purchasing this, because the way they're releasing it is, like, I don't like it. I don't like how
it's
they're
weird.
Releasing it at all.
And we also don't really know how the follow-up is going to be, because there's a lot of questions about how the second game is going to work.
If they hit us with 5 parts,
mm-hmm.
because that's, I think that was the number that I heard like a lot early on. I don't know if that's still
nothing's
the case.
Been confirmed.
But yeah, if they do, like, even if they do 3 parts,
they don't even know. That was the quote.
God bless America.
They haven't announced how many parts of the game there are going to be, because we don't know yet.
So yeah, if they release it in 3 parts and they charge $60 a disc, and you end up paying $180 for Final Fantasy VII, no.
I mean, yeah, like now, like if you just make the graphics from 7 pretty, and you charge $60 per disc, absolutely, I'm with you. But if I'm getting a 30-40 hour experience each disc, and it's its own like story that turns it from a single game to like a saga, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we'll see if they manage to do it.
I mean, it's Square Enix, so it's a big old question mark, because look at Final Fantasy 15. That last like third of that game wasn't done.
Yeah.
And then all the DLC got canceled.
And the second third. And the first third.
No, the first third was good. Everyone liked the first third.
Did
they? Yeah. I mean, it was super popular for that first part, but it's just like, it was just like, yeah, it really kind of, the ending does not stick, because they clearly were out of time.
Yeah, fair enough. But anyway, the point is, I'm not like, I just assumed anybody that was willing to pay money for this was had already played the game and they were just cashing on nostalgia.
This is
spoiler
more,
alert. Yeah,
I'm more likely to play this because it's not turn based.
Fair
like
enough.
I'm like Dragon Quest XI is the longest I've spent with a JRPG, and I'm not very far into it. I'm enjoying it, but it's like, I don't see myself if I beat Dragon Quest XI, I don't see myself trying another JRPG. Like, it's just, it's not super clicking. Like, Dragon Quest XII has been worked on, they started working on that in 2019. Like, that came out this week.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I'm not loving the franchise. Like, all of a sudden, it's just like, ooh, this has awakened something in me. I'm trying it because JRPGs are a type of game that I've never really given much attention to, so now, I'm trying to give it a fair shake.
Are you talking about turn-based JRPGs or
just the
genre as a whole?
Turn-based JRPGs.
Okay.
Like,
fairness to, like, turn-based JRPGs, most of them have like a kind of a hook nowadays. Dragon Quest is pretty like notoriously like ripped apart because they use basically the same system that they've had for 20 years.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's
30
what,
years.
And that's kind of the one that's kind of why I'm playing this one, is because it is super beginner friendly. There isn't some hook that you also have to know as well as, you know, the basics of a turn-based game.
Yeah, I mean, when I call it a hook, like it's kind of like how Pokemon has had the same combat.
Yeah.
Since the 90s.
Right.
Dragon Quest is the same way. And, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of games have done really cool stuff with turn-based combat to kind of, like, make it more fun, like, make it more engaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's make it more interesting.
There's, like, an extra system involved. Like, Bravely Default.
Yeah,
has
the Brave
and
Default
system. But that's why I'm going with Dragon Quest, is because I don't have to learn a system. This is just, okay, now it's your turn. Mess them up.
Yeah, I mean,
do something.
While I get that, Bravely Default is probably a bad example because that's super easy.
No, I just mean like, but that's an example of it's something you have to learn
in addition to how turn-based works. Because
the same
works,
thing with like Octopath Traveler had the, like, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like the, not Perry. There was something with it. I remember the demo.
I guess I played the demo of that, thought it was really cool, and then, yeah, I never played any more of it.
I almost got that one, but I heard such good things about Dragon Quest that I went with that one.
Dragon Quest is one of those games, like, the reason that Dragon Quest has stayed, like, relevant and popular is because of the story,
mm-hmm.
and, like, people are really attached to the characters, like, the art style and everything else, and, like, the general story style of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Dragon Quest stays popular, but, like, it's never been known particularly well for its gameplay.
Yeah.
But this
one reviewed fantastically, and a lot of the people that I kind of, like, would look to were like, no, this is a really good jumping on point for a JRPG turn-based style, so that's why I went with that one.
Fair enough.
But, like, so Final Fantasy VII, I never experienced that. Like, I've seen the cutscene of the sword and stuff like that, like, and I understand the references, but it's very surface level. So if this is a way that I can come in with, like, an action RPG-style gameplay, like, I mean, I'm going to try the demo. If the demo doesn't click, then I probably won't end up buying it, but I'm actually kind of excited for these to come out.
Oh,
assuming
enough.
They, you know, stick the landing and actually follow through. Because if I get, like, two games in, they're like, we're good. But what happens? I mean, I know what happens, but, like,
so
I want to
have to go back and pick up that PS1 disc.
Like, oh, no.
Make that hard transition. Anyway, yeah, so either way, if you guys wanted to see it out there, the gameplay demo has leaked. You can find it. Square's taking down videos just as fast as they come up. But, I mean, it's the internet. Nothing's scrubbed forever. You can still find them.
Do we know when the demo was supposed to come out?
I do not.
I'm gonna Google that real quick.
But yeah, either way, going back though, like, that headline still made me laugh. Like, people watch out for spoilers. Like, yeah, the game came out in 97. They're gonna stretch the story, but I have a feeling the overarching story is gonna be pretty similar.
But I'm sure it is. And like I said, I know certain scenes, but I don't know the context of where those fall.
Yeah,
there's also a rumor that, like, one of the major deaths they're going to change.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's look, spoilers for this game are on the internet.
Yeah, because if it's the major one, disc 2 to 3 literally isn't unimportant.
I doubt it'll be the.
I hope it's not.
In fairness, I never played Final Fantasy VII, so
why am I not saying the character's name? It's been 20+ years. I hope they don't kill Aeris.
Asa. Asa doesn't know.
I'm sorry. I really am.
What do I not know?
The game came out in 1997.
He didn't even hear me say the name.
Yeah, you still don't know it. It's fine.
The girl who dies?
Yeah.
No, I knew that.
That's one of them, yeah. Aerith?
Like, the sword. What? That's what the sword is.
Dude, again, I have not played Final Fantasy VII, so... And I would be the kind of person that would be avoiding this to avoid spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I assume demo doesn't have an official release date. Anybody that because I'm not, I'm also not interested in buying the game, so I don't care if it gets spoiled for me.
Yeah. I like 7 a lot, but I don't think I'm gonna. It's the whole thing of it's just like, oh, it's all Midgar, but there's extra stuff now. I'd be like, that's like the one part of the game I try to get the quickest through.
Then maybe they're making them more interesting.
But it's also the early game of a JRPG, of a turn-based JRPG. So I mean, if there's more to actually explore and do, you might want to do more in there.
Yeah, I just don't like that the tutorial part's gonna be the first game.
I'm willing to bet that the whole game's not going to be a tutorial.
Well, of course it's not, but I'm just saying, like...
Like, that would be dumb. You're dumb for thinking that. You clearly thought that.
Oh, but I wouldn't put it past Square, I'll be honest with you. Yes, we're out of time, so we're going to wrap this up. And I'm just going to finish with saying this one thing. If 2K20 is not working for you, set the date back to December 31st, 2019.
WWE 2K20.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening in NBA 2K.
Because they cared about
because they actually made that game.
God, that's so funny to me. That is ridiculously funny to me. All right, that's going to do it for us, though, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter. We're getting a little bit more active on there. The three of us even have Twitter accounts. PZ85JK, and you two say yours.
I'm just the five-star man with the number 5.
PZ85DAnthony?
Yeah, I think you use Twitter, don't you?
I have a Twitter.
I want
the table, I use mine the most.
Yeah, I want to get more engaged, in social media, because I feel like as a podcast personality, it's important to do so. So yeah, you can find me on there, PZ85JK. Just give me that follow.
Yeah, I am the 5-star man with the number 5. That's also my Twitch handle.
There you go. So yeah, you can find Ace Gray that way, and then Dalton Anthony. Yeah, what he said.
PZ85D Anthony.
There it is. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. We got I got to get all those podcast plugs, man.
No, you're good. I just love how you plug our Twitters before the thing that actually matters.
Yeah, it's fine. So, yeah, you can find it on there. We got a few free shows up now. It's the pre-show. $1 per month gets you access to all the pre-shows. And we've got, I think, 5 now up there for free. So, yeah, hit that up. And, yeah, we'll see you next time.